glad that each one of you are here, and I pray that God truly blesses you today, that you walk away with just greater insight or challenge or tools to be able to help you as life challenges us, because it does. It really does. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for each one here. I look to you, Father. We look to you to hear from you. We want to know, Father, the things that you want us to realize through your word. And in that, Father, touch our hearts in such a way that our hearts will praise you, will acknowledge you, will give you thanks, will honor you in greater ways from the depth of who we are, Father, that we will recognize your touch and your presence. And then, Father, I pray that you would carry this message and preach this message and accomplish all that you intend through it, that you might be glorified and your people, your sheep, Father, might be fed. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Title of the message this morning is Shipwrecked. And so we're going to go ahead and look at this video by Greg Lurie, an interviewing guy, a true story about being shipwrecked.
Hello, Los Angeles. Welcome, Lily Zamperini. He's a hometown boy right here, the Torrance Tornado. Louis, you have lived the most amazing life of any man I have ever lived. You're the only person I've ever met who shook hands with Hitler, punched a shark in the nose, and went forward and accepted Christ at the Billy Graham Crusade. And your life is recorded in the book Unbroken, written by Laura Hildebrand. As said, it's been on the New York Times bestseller list. It's going to be made into a major motion picture. But Louis, you've suffered. It's like you've lived multiple lifetimes. You know, Louis, the track star in Torrance, not far from here. Louis, who ran in the Olympics in Germany. Louis, who fought in World War II. Louis, who was a prisoner of war in a Japanese camp. Louis, the alcoholic. And now Louis, the Christian. All the suffering you've gone through in your life, do you feel it prepared you for something later in life?
I never knew it until I became a Christian and I realized what it was all about.
Yeah. And you found what you were looking for in a relationship with Jesus Christ, not far from here, in a tent with a young evangelist from North Carolina named Billy Graham. Now, when you went that night with your wife, Cynthia, you didn't really want to go, did you?
No.
Why didn't you want to go?
Well, I know days evangelism was kind of a dirty word.
Yeah.
And that's why Billy got no attention until the wiretapper from Mickey Cohen and Stuart Hamill, the famous cowboy singer.
Right.
And myself, I thought, well, you know, three became Christians the same week.
Right.
And because of that, Hearst newspaper decided to blow up Billy Graham. And he's been blowing up your fence.
Yeah, so basically, what happened in that tent was, here's a guy who was a wiretapper for the mob. He comes to faith in Christ, a very well-known celebrity of that day, comes to faith as well. So it got the attention of people, including you. And but you made a promise to God when you were on that raft for, was it 47 days, in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, fighting off sharks, fighting for your survival. You made a promise to God that if he got you out of it, you would turn to him, and you remember that promise in 1949.
I remember it very much, and it seems like every time I escaped a death narrowly, that I would thank God for saving my life, and then I prayed that if he would get home from the war alive, I would seek him and serve him. I came home alive, and I turned my back on him.
But on that night in 1949, you didn't turn your back on him. You made a commitment to Christ. Have you ever regretted making that decision to follow Jesus Christ?
Well, the thing that got me started was the, first of all, the Watanabe, the rotten guard.
Yeah.
If it weren't for him, I probably wouldn't have had Fortune on Express.
Yeah.
So I can look back and say, even though he was a brutal guard, all things do work together for good.
Yes.
Because the best thing is, with all of his tormenting me, I had these nightmares. And started drinking heavily. My wife decided to get a divorce. She went down to hear Billy. and I came home talking about this new life in Christ and tried to persuade me into going down, but I refused. But she did say, because of my conversion, I'm not going to get a divorce. Well, that made me happy. So the next day I went with her, but I walked out mad because he was talking about sin, and I knew I was a sinner. But she got me back the next day, and I started to leave again, but he said something like, when people come to the end of the rope, and there's nowhere else to turn, they turn to God. And I thought, yeah, that's what happened to me over and over again. And I came home alive, God kept his promise, but I didn't keep mine. And I really felt ashamed of myself. I went back to the prayer room, I got on my knees, in a matter of a couple of minutes, my whole life changed.
Changed by Jesus Christ. Thank you, Louis Zamperini, for your service to our country and all that you've done. God bless you.
Can you imagine being shipwrecked in the ocean for 47 days, floating on a raft? Not shipwrecked, but, you know, the plane went down. They're up in this plane, this B-24 bomber, and they're up there, and the plane starts acting up, and down they knew they were going to crash in the ocean, and staying on a raft for 47 days is one of my phobias. You know, I don't, you know, get me out in the ocean, but keep land in sight, you know, or, you know, something where I can get back to shore safely. Just that's something, even being out there at night, no thank you at all. And yet 47 days, then to a Japanese prison camp, and so forth. So the reason why I wanted us to look at that this morning was because we don't know. He didn't plan to be floating in the ocean. And I'm going to use the term shipwrecked. You know, it's plane wreck. But he didn't plan for that. And that's why I'm looking at this message this morning about being shipwrecked, because there's two different ways that we can be shipwrecked. I'm going to talk about that in a little bit. And it's really for information for us to be able to realize at a time when we are facing that, maybe a sense or of being shipwrecked, that whether it's life circumstances, whether it's our spiritual walk, whatever it is, that we know how to analyze it. But if he's out in the sea for 47 days, you think that was a dark time? I think being a prisoner was a dark time? What comes after the night? Day. And we need to remember that darkness always precedes light. So when we're going through a dark time in our life, we need to understand that if we hold on to God, that God eventually will get us through the other side of the darkness and get us to the light. And so I want us to consider a couple of things. First of all, like Mount Sinai. Okay, well, before I go there, we need to recognize that darkness always comes before God reveals his light and glory. Okay? So if you're filling out the form in your bulletin, that's the first section. But here's some biblical examples of darkness coming before light. One, Mount Sinai. When Moses went up to Mount Sinai and it was covered by darkness, it was a horrifying time. And I say horrifying because he's in the presence of God. He's terrified by being in the presence of God in that reality. And yet God, the Israelites are looking at the mountain, they're seeing the cloud and the darkness over the mountain, they see what's going on up there from a distance, and yet what was the light that followed? God gave them the Ten Commandments to bring down, holding the two basic principles that Jesus spoke about: love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And that's the summation of the Ten Commandments. And so therefore we have darkness on the mount, but we saw the commandments coming down that affect lives. Egypt, the last plague in Egypt was darkness. And the next day they were released and set free to leave the land of Egypt. The Israelites were able to leave the land of Egypt. One that strikes me, and hopefully you also, is that of Jesus. 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Jesus hung on the cross on that Friday, and the sky turned to blackness. No matter where you could look, the sky was black. And what was he doing? He was going through a dark time. He was bearing your sin and my sin, the sin of the world. He was in excruciating agony on the cross. But what was the worst thing that he endured there? He was alone, because he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? There may be times in our life when we feel that way, where we feel like God has forsaken us. You might think that this guy floating on the raft in this ocean for 47 days would be thinking, God, where are you? What has happened? And I want you to understand and that we need to understand that nobody plans to be shipwrecked. He didn't plan for the plane to have mechanical problems and to go down. He didn't know. He had a forewarning because the plane was acting up. But shipwreck comes on us suddenly if we're not careful to realize what we're in the middle of, then we become even that much more disorientated. But hopefully today's message will help us to identify those things that we need. And so these biblical accounts of darkness are a sense of despair. Man, that darkness over Mount Sinai, the Israelites were terrified of it, right? And the darkness over Egypt and the children that were being killed, right? But by that angel of death. You know, there was despair there. And certainly the despair of Jesus on the cross. But through the despair, if we hold on, God will give us light and hope. When we're in despair, sometimes we don't have hope. Sometimes our hope drops. Sometimes we hold on to God and we look to God and we call upon God, but the situations that we're faced around us seem to get darker and darker and darker, and God doesn't seem to be really answering what our concerns are, or giving us understanding or giving us direction or giving us comfort. And to the point that sometimes we may even feel like we're at a place where, God, I'm just holding on by a thread to hope. I'm holding on to you by your word, by faith in you of hope. But there's not much more. You got to intercede quickly. Because if you don't, I don't know what that hope's going to do. And yet, it gets darker even after that. That's a hard place to be. But God has promised us that hope and new life. And so spiritual darkness brings despair. And our lives, of course, can feel shipwrecked at times, unaware that it's going to happen. It just happens. All of a sudden, we have this sense of being shipwrecked and having no hope of surviving. So, when we first feel like we're in darkness or shipwreck, we need to recognize the origin. Now, you understand what I'm talking about being shipwrecked? When your life seems to go amok and the circumstances around you, and you don't have direction, you don't have that sense of hope, you don't have that sense of security, you have that sense of despair and anxiety and everything else that you want to compel on there, and no matter where you turn, there's no door leading you out that from that situation. Everything seems to be locked in place, and you're stuck there. That's what we're talking about. But there are two origins of being this called spiritual shipwreck or shipwrecked that we need to look at that are found in the scriptures. The first shipwreck is that it's by our own decision or self-imposed. Now let's just look at it as a Christian point of view. You're a Christian, you've obviously received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You've obviously at one point said, I want to follow Jesus. And then you start looking at life and you start taking life in your own hands, doing it your way, and you start rejecting the truth of what God has said in His Word. You start turning a deaf ear to the Spirit of God working in your life. And so the things of God become more and more obscure. And life, you think, is, you know, you're on a good path. You're on your path. You're on the path that you think is going to bring the most satisfaction and joy in your life because you've decided that your way is better than God's way. We do that sometimes. But those that decide to go in that direction and continue on that path will find themselves in a situation of feeling as if they've been shipwrecked, drifting without direction, drifting without any hope, drifting without any sense of orientation, drifting in darkness. And sometimes that's because of our own decisions that are self-imposed on us. And so the other point is that we're shipwrecked. Sometimes we find ourselves in a situation where we're shipwrecked that's been allowed by God. Isn't that interesting? That God intentionally allows us to go through a time of darkness and a sense of helplessness. And again, all those things that I've already mentioned that surround those circumstances of being shipwrecked. I want us to first start out with the self-imposed, self-inflicted shipwreck. Now, think for a minute. Who in their right mind would plan that? Who in their right mind would set out the scene and say, I'm ready to embark on being shipwrecked? Nobody. At least nobody in their right mind. And yet, sometimes people will head out and take their path unbeknown to them, that they've chosen a path that will end up bringing them to a place where they feel isolated, alone, hopeless, in despair, and darkness because they're shipwrecked. 1 Timothy 1, 18 and 19 says, "This charge I commit to you," this is Paul talking to Timothy, "this charge I commit to you, son Timothy," his spiritual son, he adopted him as a spiritual son, "according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare." The first thing that happens when a person self-inflicts a spiritual shipwreckness in their life is they stop fighting the spiritual warfare. They say, "I'm tired of it. I'm done with it. I'm going to go the way that's the easy road, and that easy road is going to make me happy, and it's going to be smooth. I'm tired of the warfare." Only to realize later that that decision really has brought a shipwreck, disastrous situation into your life, in particular for Christians. So Paul is looking at Timothy, and it's saying, it says, "that by them you may wage the good warfare," verse 19, "having faith and a good conscience, which some, having rejected concerning the faith, have suffered shipwreck." If you walk away from your faith, if you walk away from the Word, if you turn a deaf ear to the Spirit of God, if you take the reins of your life in your own hand and don't yield your life to your Lord and your Savior and whom you've been bought and purchased by, then the result is going to be is that you will suffer a shipwrecked circumstance in your life. And that is self-imposed by our own decisions. Christians must adhere to the truth of God's word, or else they're going to become spiritually disorientated. They're going to become spiritually shipwrecked. Christians will lose a good conscience with God. As they lose that good conscience with God, it makes them feel spiritually shipwrecked. God's not as close as he used to be. I don't have direction. I don't have comfort. I don't have conviction. I don't have assurance. I don't have insight. I don't have growth. All these things become that spiritual shipwrecked awareness in our life. And then when we self-impose this on ourselves, our good conscience with God becomes shipwrecked in our faith. You understand what I'm saying? That because we've put God out of our mind and gone our own direction, that we shipwreck our faith. And the consciousness of unconfessed and unforgiven sin squelches our faith. You and I know that when we walk away from God, you and I know that when we're turning a deaf ear to God, you and I know that when we pick and choose what God's word that we want to apply to our life, and we don't do it, that sin, and when we hold on to that and we don't confess it, then it squelches our faith. But a good conscience with God is an anchor of faith. What's that verse, Wyatt? Hebrews 6:19. I always get it backwards. Hebrews 6:19. Right? So a good conscience with God is an anchor of faith. And so intentionally rejecting the effect of God's word in our lives in order to hold on to sin, we become spiritually shipwrecked without living our faith. That doesn't sound very logical, does it? It doesn't sound like something that's smart to do. That sounds like, you know, are you really kidding yourself to go in that direction? And yet Satan whispers in the minds of God's children saying, this isn't stupid, this isn't foolish, this is not the wrong way. This is what's going to make you the most happy. And so you begin to live the way of the world, not the way of God, and you become eventually spiritually shipwrecked. In your bulletin, it says, our lives are like a ship. We can either follow the navigation the Lord puts before us, or we can intentionally and forcefully reject God's direction for our lives and become disorientated and spiritually shipwrecked. Looking at that for a moment, God will navigate our life. If we choose to follow him, we'll find out that navigation route. But if we intentionally... And believe me, that when we intentionally make a decision to turn our back on God and turn that deaf ear and to harden our heart to the truth of his word, it is a forceful act. It is a forceful, intentional rejection of God's direction for our lives, and we will become disoriented. Life will not be what you were convinced it would be for not following him. And so the self-imposed person who is spiritually shipwrecked has made some really terrible wrong decisions that end up in disaster. But I want us to look at the shipwreck that's allowed by God for his purposes. You say, why would God allow us to be shipwrecked? Remember what I was saying about being shipwrecked? That things seem to go wrong around us unaware. That every avenue that you look for to resolve the situation is closed. That you feel isolated and alone. You feel like God is not caring about your concerns. You just are stuck and you can't move and you don't understand. And God's not answering your prayers clearly. And so what do? But this is something that sometimes God allows us to go through to teach us the importance of our faith in Jesus, to help us to realize where our faith stands with Jesus. In 2 Corinthians 11:25 and 26, the Apostle Paul is telling the events that have happened in his life. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. 1 and a day I have been in the deep. Yuck, right? And journeys often, in perils or danger, or danger or dangerous times, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, and in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, and perils among false brethren. You think that he saw danger all aside? You think maybe he felt alone? You think he didn't know how to maybe navigate through all of that? Possibly. In fact, I am inclined to think so. And yet all these circumstances, I mean, think about it from this perspective. Every area you look is a seeming threatening, disastrous situation around you. And you have no way to just resolve it and get out of it. That's what Paul was doing here. But what was God doing? God was teaching him to be faithful. God was using him to show his faith. God used the testimony of him to encourage us to endure hard times that we don't understand. If there was something in this message I'd like you to walk away from, is that being shipwrecked will teach us to depend upon God even when we don't understand. And we almost demand from God, I want to understand this. We almost say to God, you owe me an understanding. I'm your child. You're my heavenly father. Why are you not telling me? And God steps back and he's testing our faith. And he says, I want to teach you how to trust me even when you don't understand, even when it is disastrous, even when you don't have control, even though you don't have the avenues out, even though every area is blocked and you are stuck right there. That challenges our faith. The Apostle Paul was shipwrecked physically 3 times, and he spent a night and a day in the sea. He was in perils in the deep. Again, one of my phobic nightmares. I mean, thinking about floating in the sea and those great whites or even the little sharks. No, thank you. Fighting them off, like the guy in the video. You know, Greg Laurie was saying, you punched a shark in the nose. You were fighting off sharks. And that just, I mean, it's jaws all over again. I was scared to death. Okay? And so being shipwrecked in our lives is having life in chaos without apparent hope. Have you been there? Where our life seems chaotic and shipwrecked and we don't seem to have apparent hope. And that can happen whether we have self-imposed it by our wrong decisions or if it's simply circumstances that God has allowed to teach us to trust him. Because our shipwreck situations are lonely. And what does it mean to be shipwrecked at night? You know what that means to me? No vision, no clarity, no direction, no assurance. But what's the day mean? first of all, I'm out of the dark. Things begin to start becoming clear. Understanding begins to deepen. Communication begins to become richer. Understanding of the value of faith becomes bolder. And we start to come out of the dark because of that personal reflective time with God. God, this is a horrible time. I didn't think it was ever going to end. But finally, I'm coming out of that darkness and into the light, into the day. And you're revealing your purposes and your plans for me to see. How reassuring. But let's think much more. How exhilarating. Moses was up there with the Lord on the mountain. It was a terrifying place to be before the Lord. And yet he walked down with the tablets of the Ten Commandments. Israel saw the horrifying events, heard the cries of the people as their children were being killed by the angel of death in Egypt, only to have the light of freedom the next day. And Jesus kept his eyes focused on each one that he knew would receive him as their personal Lord and Savior when he died on the cross. And after he rose, it was completed. Couldn't just die, he had to rise. And those two events in themselves secured the way of redemption for sinful mankind. A period of time in the midst of peril, a dangerous situation. Why is being shipwrecked, that spiritual shipwreckness, whether self-imposed or God-allowed, a dangerous time? You might say, well, that's logical. Here's the key. What do we do in the midst of those shipwreck times in our lives? What do we do when we're alone, isolated, confused, disorientated, no direction, no sense of hope? The choice is that we follow and hold on to God no matter what we understand or don't. No matter what the circumstance is that we hold on. But that's a choice. Because the danger is that we won't. The danger is that we don't turn to God. The danger is that through that hardship, that we will not see the victory of our faith in Christ Jesus because we've turned our back on God. Because we've analyzed that all these situations are too much and they're unfair and they're unjust. Therefore, God must not love me, care about me, or be involved in my life to allow this to happen. And we make a decision to walk away. That's the danger. But you and I, when we're humble before God, see, God, I am your child. You've promised never to leave me nor forsake me, even though I feel like you have. And we hold on to the word because his word is truth. We hold on to him because he does love us, even when we don't feel it. When we come out into the daylight, our faith will be emboldened because we saw him carry us through those very dark times. God uses these situations that were not brought on by us, too, let's look at a few of these, to teach us to accept the challenge of faith in God's provision and direction. To teach us to accept the challenge of faith in God's provision and direction. To teach us to trust God when we don't understand. To teach us to have faith that God will give us grace, that will give us hope. To teach us to trust God's plan. It's a very lonely place when you get to a place where you feel like you don't have any more hope. Yet God can restore that. What we must do to get through the shipwreck situations, again, that are self-imposed. If you find yourself or I find myself ever in a situation where I know that I'm spiritually shipwrecked because I returned my back on God and took my life in my hands instead of continuing to lay it in his, what do we do? Two things. We're to confess and repent. In 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In Revelation 3:19, it says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, therefore be zealous and repent. If we walk away from God by our own free will, we are to confess and repent. But what about Oh, we must confess and repent. Okay. So what about if we're in a shipwreck situation in life that was not self-imposed, that was not because of poor choices, but that was a circumstance that God allowed in your life or my life that we didn't see coming, obviously, and that's there, and we're stuck in the middle of it. What do we do? First of all, that familiar passage in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Look, when it doesn't make sense, when you don't have direction, when you don't seem to have hope, you hold on to your trust in Jesus. So important. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. You know how we do that? We're saying, God, I hate this situation. I'm being honest and blunt with you, but I am yours. I surrender to you. And whatever you deem necessary, I submit to. That's humility. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. You keep calling on him. You keep looking to him. You keep trying to listen to him. You keep on doing what you know you're supposed to do in your walk with God, and God will come through. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. Commit all of our anxiety. Commit our concerns. Commit all these things to God. Individualize them. Tell them to God. And he will establish us. You know what that means? He will give us sure footing. He will give us confidence. He will give us what we need to be what he wants us to be in him. Psalm 37:5 says, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And finally, 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7 says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Never forget that God cares for you. God is there for you. God understands you. Never forget that. And so we must trust God, commit ourselves to God, and humble or submit ourselves to God. When we're in that shipwreck situation, and we've been faithful to God, and we don't understand what's going on, trust him, commit to him, be humble to him, and submit to him. Because that's really all we can do, other than turning our back on him. Shipwreck situations in our lives, whether self-imposed or allowed by God, are dark and dangerous times, are they not? Because they test what we're going to do. They test our faith. Okay? They're dark and dangerous times that require a commitment of faith in God to see victory brought about in his life. The man in the video, Greg Laurie, asked him, you promised God that you would follow him if he got out of that situation. He goes, yeah, I promised him several times. Isn't that human nature? I'm in a rut here, God, get me out of it, and I'll follow you. You get out of it, and then you forget your promise to God. But God never forgets us, never gives up on us, and loves us continuously. And so, hold on to that. The point of this message for me, what I gained from this message, is I can identify the shipwreck time, whether I've self-imposed it, or whether it's God-allowed, and I know what to do about it. And that can give us hope. So praise God for that. Let's go to the Lord. Father, I want to thank you for each one here. I want to thank you, Father, for helping us to understand what it means to be spiritually shipwrecked. And Father, this message is intended for information to know how to deal with these times in our lives that might be there, that come unexpectedly, that we might remain faithful and committed to you. Now, Father, I pray that you'll help us to hold on to you, to love you, and to keep our faith in you no matter what. For we ask it all in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion@mindspring.com. And tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.